Scripture reading this morning will be Proverbs 19, verse 2 through 7. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. The foolishness of man subverts his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. This ends the reading of God's Word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we are humbled by your word. Lord, we ask that you would teach us as we look at your word this morning. Lord, that you would help us to understand, that you would grow our faith. Lord, that we would draw near to you. Lord, I just ask your blessing this morning as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Caleb read Psalm 73, and Carl read it again this morning for the call. But since Caleb read it last week, I just kept thinking more and more about how the lesson learned in Psalm 73 really goes right along with really throughout the whole book of Proverbs, and how you see sometimes we see the wicked. And we see them prospering. We see all the pleasures that they're enjoying. And sometimes we become envious. And we forget that all their pleasures are just for a moment. We forget about their ending. And really, this is what we see in the book of Proverbs. Over and over again, we're shown the wicked and the righteous. And we're shown the wicked. And yes, they enjoy some pleasures, but we see their end. We see where all of it leads. And we see where the path of the righteous leads. And so, the verses that we'll look at in Proverbs this morning are no different. The outline this morning, there's two parts. Part one, fools, and part two, fake friends. And so as we look at fools, we'll see that they're unprepared and unrestrained. We'll see that they ruin themselves and that they will not escape punishment. And then in part two, we'll see more about fake friends and how their true motivation is to help themselves, not to help others. But in all of these instructions, in all of these do's and don'ts in Proverbs, let's not lose sight of how simple the message really is. The nearness of God is our good. Those who are far from God perish, but the nearness of God is our good. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish, thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. So may we draw near to the Lord. So part one, fools. The fool is unprepared and unrestrained. Verse 2, also it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. So it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. To be without knowledge is to be without wisdom, without prudence. A fool is described here as being ignorant of knowledge. He doesn't know or understand what is good and right. He cannot discern well the choices he has to make in life. Because of his lack of knowledge, he is completely unprepared to make good decisions in life. And we see here that it's not good. They will not benefit from this. It's not a safe or pleasant position to be in. It's a bad position, and it will lead to bad consequences. The fool who does not know God, nor the ways of God, will make bad choices. And the verse continues, he who makes haste with his feet errs. Here we see the fool described even more, and it's a recipe for disaster. Not only does the fool not have knowledge, but he is also hasty with his feet. He's rash. He quickly rushes into things without careful consideration. You see, it isn't just that the fool doesn't have knowledge. The fool doesn't even have the desire to have knowledge. He doesn't even want it. Even when warned of danger, the fool rushes on. He's really like a blind man that refuses to walk and be careful. He just rushes on, forges ahead, faster and faster into the darkness. And the outcome is sin. He errs. The outcome is never good for those who live life by their own pleasures and lusts. He will always err. The desires of a fool's heart will always lead them astray. So we see that the fool is unprepared to live life successfully because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. He doesn't have the Word of God guiding and directing and restraining him on how to live. But we also see here in the second half of the verse that it isn't that he wants God's wisdom, but just can't find it. He doesn't want to submit to God at all. He wants to live life his own way. And so the fool rushes on. And this verse is very clear. He's making a big mistake. It will not be good. So we see here that the fool is unprepared and unrestrained. But what about you? You who know God. You who know that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Do we still try to navigate through life on our own strength? Within our own wisdom? Or are we clinging to the Lord? Are we seeking Him? Are we feeding upon His Word and directing our life accordingly? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We saw here that to be unrestrained leads to sin. So how can a young man keep his way pure? But by keeping it according to thy word. We must continue to seek the Lord. We must submit to Him. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who makes haste with his feet errs. Verse 3, the fool's ruin and his response. The foolishness of man subverts his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Here we see what ruins the fool, and we see how he responds to his ruin. The foolishness of man subverts his way. You see, it is the fool himself. It's him. He is ruining himself because he's living life his own way. He's following the desires of his wicked heart. And so his own sin subverts his way. Now, this certainly wasn't his intention. I mean, he didn't desire to harm himself. In fact, he just wanted to benefit himself. But we see the result of living life your own way. When you reject the wisdom of God and you will not listen to counsel, and the only restraint that you have on your life is the standards that you have set up, you will ruin yourself. You will destroy yourself. You will cause yourself many troubles and misfortunes in life. You're really leading yourself astray. Listen to a few verses that echo this teaching in this verse. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Psalm 107:17. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Proverbs 1:32. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. So you see, the fool's ruin is his own fault. He brought it upon his own head. And then we see in the second half his reaction to his ruin. His heart rages against the Lord. You see the response? The fool does not respond with repentance. He doesn't respond by humbly reconsidering the path that he has chosen in life. Listen to what the fool has done. He's lived life his own way. He hasn't listened to correction. He has not submitted to God's standards. And then, when things didn't turn out the way he wanted them to, he blames God. It's God's fault. It's God's fault that my life is such a mess. He blames the Lord for all his troubles. Now, if it wasn't clear before, it's very clear now that the fool is not just some innocent man who just he's just ignorant. He just doesn't get it. He wants to do what's right. He just doesn't know what to do. The fool is an enemy of God. He has been warned He has no excuse. He hates God and opposes God all throughout his life. In a nutshell, this is the fool's life. When the fool didn't know what to do, he wouldn't seek the Lord. When others warned him of danger, he wouldn't listen or obey the Lord. And now, when his sins are starting to catch up with him, and he begins to suffer for his own foolishness, now he blames the Lord. May we be wise and not foolish. May we live life God's way. God's ways are always better than man's ways. And when we make mistakes, when we sin, let's not make excuses. Let's not look for others to blame. But may we repent and draw near to the Lord all the more. The fool ruins himself, and he responds with more anger towards God. The foolishness of man subverts his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Verse 5, the fool will not escape. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Here we see that those who use their mouth for falsehood, they will be punished. God hates the perverted mouth. He hates dishonesty and telling lies. It doesn't matter if you're in a courtroom before the judge or at home before your mother. All lies are open before the Lord. He sees them all. Certainly, fools, they come up with excuses and attempts to justify their dishonesty. You know, they may say, I only lie to protect other people. Or I only tell little white lies. But God is not amused. And when people make those statements, they're lying. This is a big deal. Now, certainly it's true that all lies do not have the same consequences. Certainly, some lies have great consequences. When someone lies in the courtroom, an innocent man may be put to death. But what we see here is that all lies have the same outcome for the liar. You will not get away with it. You will not escape punishment. Certainly, there will be times when it will appear that people have gotten away with lying. But don't be deceived. No one ever really gets away with it because God sees it. Yes, men can be deceived for a moment, but God isn't deceived, not even for a moment. He knows. And you will not escape God's punishment. Certainly, this verse should put the fear of God into all of us, considering that we open our mouth a lot, we speak often. Understand, every time you open your mouth, God is listening. Are you being honest? Even when no one else knows, whether you're telling the truth or not, God knows. And there is no escaping His punishment. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. So in part one here, we see that the fool is far away from God. He's not seeking the Lord. He's not in any way submitting to the laws of God. He's doing his own thing. He's going farther and farther away from the Lord. And we see here the outcome of this life. The life lived in rebellion against God is a life that destroys itself. Punishment is in the end. They will perish in their sin. And certainly this is where we would all be if it were not for Christ. But if this fool described here is you this morning, if you're going through all the motions, but your heart is not near to God, you don't truly know Him, today is the day of salvation. Repent of your sins and draw near to God. Part two is fake friends. Now last week we saw how much better one quality friend is than a large quantity of fake friends. And so here in these verses, we see the effect that money often has on friendships. Specifically, the effects that money has on fake friends. So verse 4, a friend of money. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. Here we see the growth and the decline of friends depending on how much money you have. The more money you have, the more friends you have. But remember, these aren't the friends that stick closer than a brother. These are fake friends. This is speaking of shallow friends. The truth of the matter is that many people love money. They love money. And so they go where the money is. Again, not a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's all about the money. You see, they're not here to help you. They're here to help themselves. And so they befriend the wealthy with the hope that the wealthy will help them. Here we see one of the downsides of being wealthy is that all of your friends are not really your friends. Some of them are. Some of them love you and will stick by you. But many of them just love your money. So wealth adds many friends. But a poor man is separated from his friend. Here we see two opposites. We see a rich man surrounded by many friends. Many people coming to be his friend. And we see a poor man left alone, without any friends. Now, when he was prosperous, when he was wealthy, he had many friends. But where are they now? Did he offend them? Was he mean to them? Was he harsh? Did he drive them away? He's poor. He's poor. That's it. You see, he can't entertain them anymore. Not like he used to. In fact, not only can he not throw the parties anymore, but he really needs their help. He may be demanding of them and their time and resources. So where are they? Where are the friends? They're gone. You see, when he had money, he was beloved. He was respected. But now that he's poor, he's disregarded and disowned. They would just as soon keep him at a distance. The same people who would stop by to visit without an invitation, they won't come, even if he invites them. You see, this is the reality of fake friends. When you're rich, they run to you. When you're poor, they run away from you. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. Verse 6 and 7. Many will entreat the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. Certainly we see the same points here as we saw in verse 4. Many people will flock to a rich man. And certainly all the more if he is a generous man. And so people come. They bring their requests. They're looking for favors and gifts for themselves. So they go to the generous man. The man who's known for giving gifts. And they befriend him to try to get what they want. But again, we see the shallowness of their relationship. They're only befriending him to get what they want. It's not about him. It's not about helping him, meeting his needs. It's about getting what they want. And if he were poor, or as soon as he becomes poor, and he stops giving them what they want, they're gone. We see that when this happens, their true feelings come out. They show. It shows. Verse 7 says, all the brothers of a poor man hate him. You see, the poor man can't give them what they want anymore. And so they're done with him. They hate him. It's over. And they leave him. And this isn't just, I'm going to spend less time with this person. No, they want nothing to do with him. Because they never cared about him to begin with. It was all about the money. So they go far from him. They completely turn their back on him. They want nothing to do with him. And even when he pursues them, they will not listen. He pursues them with words, because words are all he has. He can't pursue them with money or gifts. He doesn't have them. So he pleads with them, but they won't listen. They leave anyway. They are gone. So we see this comparison here between the rich man and the poor man. And we see that with the rich man, everyone comes. Many friends, everyone's befriending the rich man. But the poor man is hated. even by his brothers. We see that the rich man, all his friends come to him with no effort on his part. And yet we see that time and time again, no matter how much the poor man pursues his friends, they're gone. Certainly there are many lessons to be learned in these verses and many applications. But I want to just consider a few. First of all, be on guard. You see, the friends described in these verses are far more common today than the friend who will stick closer than a brother. So be on guard. Understand that there are many people who seem so nice and friendly, who will befriend you and seem like, man, it just seems like they really care. But oftentimes they really just care about themselves and how they could benefit from you. But they don't care about you at all. So be careful. Guard yourself. Also examine yourself. You know, we see these fake friends described here. And it's easy for us to see their ulterior motives in the difference in how they treat the rich man and the poor man. And certainly we would all like to say that we would never do that. But it can happen. Turn with me, if you would, to James 2. And let's read the warning that he gives. In James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." You see, this can be an issue for us, even in the local church. We must examine ourselves. Just think for a moment in examining yourself. If we had a visitor this morning, and he drove up in the nicest car, and he came in and he had a fine suit on, and he introduced himself and he said he just moved to town to take a great job, would we treat him any different? Would we befriend him more than if a man had rode his bike here and he came in old clothes and he said, "Please pray for me that I can find a job this week"? Would we treat him differently? We need to examine ourselves. These things happen. We can do this. We can fall into this. So we must examine ourselves. Certainly also, as we're checking our motives, consider your relationship with the Lord. Certainly, as we read through these verses, and you know, especially in verse 6, where it says, many will entreat the favor of a generous man. Oh, do you know how generous the Lord is? Do you know how many people cry out to God for what they want? That they view Him more as a vending machine. Okay, I'm gonna put my money in. But this is what I want. This is what I want. And if you don't get what you want, well then, you pound on the machine and you walk off and you say, I'm never putting money in there again. But this is what people do. Yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord. Life is good. He's blessing me. He's giving me what I want. But what about when he isn't giving you what you want? Now, certainly, God is never poor. This isn't a perfect example. But consider our motives and our faithfulness, even to the Lord. So we must examine our motives. Always check your motives. Are we looking to better ourselves in our friendships? Or are we truly looking to love our neighbor? Many will entreat the favor of a generous man. And every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. So in conclusion, as we go through the Proverbs, there is a sense in which we can always find ourselves. We can see ourselves as the fool is described, as the fake friend is described. Because we're not perfect yet. We're still being sanctified. But remember that the only difference between a fool and a child of God is Christ. Christ brings us near to God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So don't be deceived when you see the wicked prospering. It is just for a moment. It is just for a moment. Their end is coming. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. God is so good. Don't be deceived. As Carl mentioned, you know, we live our life. We're in the world. We see and we hear constantly man's wisdom. This is the way you should go. This is good. We see them prosper. Understand, just as the psalmist in Psalm 73, he drew near to God. It says, that it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. draw near to the Lord, that we might not be deceived, that we might understand the truth between living life our own way and following the Lord. May we follow Him. May we draw near to Him. May we be faithful friends of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord. Lord, we read of the fool. We read of these fake friends. Lord, we recognize our sin. Lord, we struggle. Lord, we just thank You for Christ. Lord, we pray that You would work in us more and more, that You would continue to sanctify us, that we would be a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that we would be faithful, that we would look to love our neighbor as ourself. Lord, that we would not be foolish, that we would not go the way of the world. Lord, I ask that You would help us, that You would open our eyes. Lord, I pray especially for the young people here this morning. Lord, that You would help them to not be deceived as they see the wicked prosper, but that they would remember, that they would draw near to You, that they would be reminded from Your word that the wicked will perish. They may enjoy life for a moment, but only for a moment. Lord, that we would not be deceived, but that we would trust You, that we would hunger and thirst for Your righteousness, that we would obey You, that we would look to Your word in directing our lives. Lord God, You have blessed us so much. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.